Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Right, we're riding with the King. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you, of course. Howard Eskin with us. As always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. Howard, how are we doing tonight?
Just absolutely sensational. Another day in paradise.
Well, that's what I like to hear, Howard. And we got a lot to talk about here. We haven't spoken in a while, and things are happening, Howard. We're three weeks away from the NFL draft. The Phillies are 5-1.
Yeah, well, the draft's coming up?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, three weeks.
I was listening to the station. I can't tell that the draft's coming. You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive on this, yes. Okay. And if you listen, you would know it's all we talk about. So we'll get to that. But, Howard, let me just get some quick thoughts. The Phillies are 5-1, Howard. One of the best starts in franchise history. Obviously, you can't ask for much better against the Braves and the Mets than to win 5 of 6. Your thoughts on the Phillies as they enter an off day here?
Well, when you say it's one of the best starts, it's only 6 games. So,
right, one of the best 6-game starts.
Well, 6-game starts, all right. Well, that just shows you how bad the franchise has been for how many years?
Well, I mean, you don't have the most losses in franchise in MLB history for no reason. It has right. been bad, yeah.
That's exactly right. Now, so they, there's some good things. There's some things that you wonder about a little bit. Well, let's put it this way. The bullpen is, let's start with the good things. The starting pitching, although I know people have some questions about Aaron Nola after last night. In the first game, actually, if the wind wasn't blowing in, he would have probably given up 2 home runs.
Probably.
But I'm not totally worried about Aaron Nola.
I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's been good for years. I assume he's going to be a good pitcher.
Yeah, so I'm okay there. The bullpen, obviously, better than last year. That's like going from 0 to 1. You could have thrown in the bullpen last year, and it would have been just as good as what they had.
Just as bad, depending on how you want to phrase it.
Just as bad, right? So when you look at those things, so that's good. Offensively, they up until, what was it, last night? See, the Mets game, the Mets gave them, what, 2 or 3 runs in that, first of all, I don't know why it was a third baseman, sir. The catcher's got to catch the ball. But they're not scoring for the team that has all this offense. I don't think they score enough runs. So now let's look at the good thing on offense. Obviously, some players have ignored the computers, have ignored the idiots on the coaching in the front office that talk to them about analytics, and swinging at first pitch if it's a good pitch. Reese Hoskins, first pitch home run. JT Realmuto, first pitch home run. And analytics say, oh, you got to work the pitcher and get deep into the count. Now players are realizing, because pitchers know the same thing, and just throw a strike. Well, now, if you're going to throw a strike, they're going to swing at it. So that's a good thing. It looked like, and I wanted to talk to Reese Hoskins last night, but they were traveling last night. I'm surprised they traveled with a day off today. They traveled last night, so they had to get out of there. And Reese Hoskins didn't speak after the game. But his swing is not a launch angle swing. It's level through the ball, which is the way you're supposed to hit. And you're still going to hit home runs, and you're still going to hit the ball hard. So that's a positive.
Well, the thing I like so far about Reese Howard is he's going the other way. I mean, when he gets in trouble, he's pulling off. You could tell. I mean, his front shoulder flies out. He tries to pull everything. He's pitchers are outside. He's grounding them to shortstop. So, like, that's the one thing early on. When the pitch is outside, like it was in the first inning yesterday, He's going the other way, and we know, I mean, he has plenty of power. He can hit the ball out the other way. So that's really stood out to me, that he's thinking the other way, which when he's in a bad way, he always pulls everything.
Well, because everybody was worried about home runs. You're going to hit home runs just by doing the right things. He does have powder. He's hit that double that where he got, thrown out at third base. I don't know what he's trying to go for a triple.
Yeah, the base running's been a little suspect.
Okay, but that was to, like, a little bit to right center. The home run, obviously, to right field. So there's some good things, and there's some things you have to question. But the one thing that I try to be careful about, and I know fans aren't careful about anything, they just, whatever gets them excited. But last year in a 60-game season, this would have been a great start, but it's not a 60-game season. It's 162. I almost want a 60-game season. I can't imagine going through 162 games.
Well, buckle up. We got a long way to go here.
I know. After last year, I liked the 60-game. Look, I would go with an 80-game season, but 162 is way too much after we saw last year. And what that did is it made every game important. And not every game, I'm tired of the cliche. Well, wins in April are just as good as wins in September. Yeah, but they're harder. They're usually more difficult in September because teams have now played. Atlanta got off to a bad start. I guess it was last year. Washington, the year they won the World Series, they were 19-31.
And then they went crazy for about 4 months, and it didn't matter.
Went crazy. Right. So you can go both ways. But all in all, and I've said this all along, they are a better team this year than they are last year. I just want to see what the other teams are like. Atlanta wasn't as bad. The middle of their lineup is not going to go 2-for-40, but 2-for-44.
Yeah, they totally shut down, what was it, Ozuna, Acuna, and Freeman. I mean, Freddie Freeman, that might have been the first series I can ever remember the Phillies, getting the best of Freddie Freeman. He kills the Phillies.
That ball that he hit to a little bit to left center, that's at least off the wall if the wind's not blowing in. Last night was the first game that there was no wind. The flags were dead. And I said before the game to somebody in the press box, I said, there's going to be some home runs tonight. It's a nice night, no wind. There's going to be some home runs. And now I'm starting to wonder whether with players hitting all these long home runs, whether they really just told us they were, making the ball less lively, or they just didn't do anything.
You know what I've heard, Howard? I've been watching some post games with some other teams, and some players have a feeling that they're mixing in some of the other balls. So some of the balls are the normal baseballs that jump and go out pretty far, and then there's other ones they've mixed in that are dying at the warning track. So I don't know how we're going to be able to tell. It might take a while here. It seems like there's two different baseballs, which seems crazy to me.
Well, I don't know how, unless they've marked the baseballs, how can you tell if the teams aren't mixing in last year's baseballs?
It's a good question. I mean, I guess we just got to see when the ball's dying at the warning track, and that's weird. And then some balls just jump out, and it seems it's crazy.
I wonder if the team, depending on if you have a good pitcher, you would mix in some, or you would not mix in last year's baseballs. If you have a bad pitcher, you want to hit two. So they're going to hit home runs regardless with a pitcher like your fourth and fifth starter. So who knows whether the teams aren't mixing in. There's no question they probably have baseballs from last year. So I'm curious. We're not allowed down on the field anymore. I'm going to try to see if I can't get a hold of one of the baseballs and see if they're marked any differently. Last year, somebody cut open the baseball. And you can see the core was different. It was so juiced up. They had a bigger, like a super ball in the center.
It's crazy to me how they just changed the baseball. It feels like it changes the whole game. And yet every couple of years, the baseball's different.
Yeah, well, they want offense.
Right.
But the one thing I don't want is I think the Phillies have averaged 3 hours and 30 minutes a game so far.
I mean, last night's game
was 2-1 into the seventh inning. Was 3 hours and 40 minutes.
I mean, last night was a very, and I know there were a lot of runs yesterday, but last night was probably close to a four-hour game, and that game was long yesterday.
Yeah, 335, 340. It's a joke, and all these other Mickey Mouse rules that they're talking about, that's not going to change anything. It's not going to change anything because you're going to have pitchers that are going to walk people. Batters, they don't enforce the rule where you have to stay in the batter's box if you don't foul off a pitch. You're supposed to stay in the batter's box. I noticed a few times last night, guys didn't stay in the batter's box. So it's just, not, you know, I guess it accumulates after a while, but the games are still too long. But as long as the Phillies are winning, I guess people don't care.
Yeah, we're going to be excited if they're winning. So they're in Atlanta tomorrow. So they got the six versus the Mets and the Braves, and now they get seven more against these same teams. I heard Zach Wheeler yesterday talking about how it's kind of ridiculous the way they did the schedule here because he's got to face the Braves again. I mean, it is weird. I mean, you have to start off and play the same teams over again. Basically the first 13 games are against the same two teams.
Well, you know why they're doing that?
Why?
The same reason that the NBA put two teams. They said it was for travel, but when you're traveling on the East, it's really not that bad if you're going East to East, because if you play two teams in a row at your place and then at their place, you hope for a split. So you hope to keep all the teams in it. I think the reason they do this and revenge within a week is not good. Atlanta, what do they play? Three in Atlanta?
Three in Atlanta and then four up against the Mets in New York.
I think the Braves will win two out of three in Atlanta.
I agree.
Yeah, because it's so you're trying to keep the teams close. You want it competitive. And by scheduling these games that close together, they see the pitchers again. You have it fresh in your mind the way he pitched against you.
Well, Wheeler and Eflin have to, you know, they just pitched against the Braves. They're going to see him again right away.
Well, Major League Baseball wants to keep everybody close, and this is a way of artificially doing it.
Well, it's kind of like the NFL. The NFL does the same thing. I mean, they want everyone to be close, so there's races here.
But at the end of the year, but they still separate. At the end of the year, you know, you play division teams because they want big games when they flex.
Right.
When they flex the games, so they want good games that way too. But there's only 16 and now 17 games. But in baseball, you can run away with it very quickly. But Phillies are better. It's just, but I'm not going to get carried away after six games.
You're not printing the playoff tickets yet?
No, what do you mean? I'm on Broad Street already. I'm going to sit there and wait for the World Series.
You got to put a lawn chair out to reserve your spot for the parade.
Yeah, that's exactly what I got to do. You're exactly right.
It is a good start. So we'll see how they progress. 215-592-9494. Howard, the other thing going on, and we'll get to the draft stuff with the Eagles and how the big trade in the NFL the other day affects the Eagles, but they made another signing yesterday. They made a couple under-the-radar signings here that seemed pretty good to me. Anthony Harris, the safety, a couple weeks ago. And then yesterday, they signed a linebacker from the Vikings that, you know, I like it, 26 years old. I mean, Eric Wilson had an excellent year last year, and they get him, and I would imagine he's going to start from day one to be their number one linebacker.
Okay, here's my question. Why was he still out there?
Well, he's a linebacker.
Well, but still, why was he still out there?
It's a fair question. I don't know. I mean, maybe he wanted a deal one wanted to give him?
I always wonder, when it looks too good, like, why is it that good? It's like the Phillies, and I'll just change pace here. They get Alvarado, who can throw 100 miles an hour. Tampa didn't even have him on the playoff roster last year.
Well, he gained like 50 pounds.
He goes up and down. But the thing is, you know, be careful because teams aren't that stupid. Well, some of them are, but they're not that stupid. I just don't know. But they need players and they need linebackers. So it doesn't hurt. It didn't cost that much, and you need linebackers. So who knows? He might show you something. And if he doesn't, it's no big deal. You know, he'll play special teams. I don't know exactly what he'll do.
Yeah, it's a one-year deal. And I like that he's 26 because we know this is a team that's, you know, kind of retooling here and they need to get younger. And they haven't – this reminds me a couple years ago a little bit of when they signed Bradham. You know, Bradham was a guy that was a good player up in Buffalo. We didn't know much about him. But he came because he was with Jim Schwartz in Buffalo. And this is the same thing because Jonathan Gannon, the new defensive coordinator, he got his start in Minnesota, which is where this guy Wilson was an undrafted player and became a player, you know, when he was there together with him.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt you. So the only thing you can do is help. And you got to get – and then in camp, there'll be more players in camp. And you want to have more players for training camp. I don't know if they'll have these mini camps. I think the way the players want it, because of a longer season, I think they're probably not going to have the mini camp. So they'll have the regular camp, but when you get in camp, you still need a lot of players, even though there's only going to be three games. So it's okay. I mean, it doesn't hurt them. If anything, it could help. So it's, and then Jordan Howard, it's okay. I mean, you get a running back, he still may not make the team. I don't know how his contract reads, if it's guaranteed money or not. But running backs, you just need bodies. And you just hope he's not hurt again. So it's okay, too.
Yeah, I was trying to remember, did he actually play? He came back last year, but did he play?
I don't think he got into a game when
the Dolphins cut him, right? And then he came back here last year at the end?
Yep, and I don't think he played.
What did he do? He just hung out on the practice squad, or just he was inactive?
Well, they just didn't dress him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they dressed
him. I mean, I liked him. I mean, a couple of years ago, before he hurt his shoulder, he did a good job.
Hurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is what running backs are, right? Most of them are okay for a couple of years, and they get hurt, and you forget about them. But I don't mind it. I mean, they didn't really pay him any money. I mean,
no, right, so that's fine.
Yeah, I think Howard, quietly here, Howie in the front office have had a pretty good offseason. I mean, they got something for Carson Wentz. They got an extra first-round pick to move down. And the signings they've made, they haven't made a bunch of them, but I think they got some value here. I mean, the safety, Harris, was a really good player 2 years ago. They got the linebacker now, Wilson. I mean, I think they've done a pretty good job considering they didn't have much money to work with and they had to get under the cap. I think this has been a pretty good offseason so far.
Yeah, well, I think Indianapolis did well, too, because if Carson Wentz plays, they'll make the playoffs, and that first-round pick will be later in the first round. And if he gets hurt and they don't make the playoffs, then the Eagles end up with a second-round pick. So if you're not going to get picks, that's why I've been telling you that the Eagles aren't going to get anything for Zach Ertz. That's just the way it is anymore.
How about keeping Zach Ertz, Howard? I mean, he's still here. Why not?
No.
Why?
Nope. Because
I want to keep him.
Well, I like him in the locker room, and I like him as a person in the locker room. But you got to be. You also have to be able to play. And he's been hurt, the last two? And I don't want to say anything bad about Zach Ertz because you can't, because he's such a good person. And when he's healthy, he's a good player. But he lost a little bit of speed. He's making, and you're keeping him. Okay, let's say you redo his contract. I don't think he's going to want to do that. He's just going to want to get cut, and he's going to want to go to play for Indianapolis. Guaranteed
I agree with you. You're probably right on that. But how about this? He doesn't control the situation. He's under contract. And now that they move down in the draft, the idea of getting Kyle Pitts is out the window. He's not going to be on the board.
Well, he does control the situation.
Zach Ertz?
Because if the Eagles aren't going to want to sign him for what he's making.
No, but then just play out the last year of his contract.
Okay, no.
Why?
Then they're not going to want to. They're not going to want to pay him, so they're going to cut him. They're going to ask him.
But they're already under the cap. What's the difference?
Doesn't matter, because you're going to, in camp, there's things that could happen. There could be trades. You want to have a little bit of flexibility. And you don't want to pay, what's it, like $8 million plus?
Yeah, something around there.
Yeah, you don't want to pay him that.
But it's not as dire as it was a month ago when they were trying to get under the cap.
I know.
They're under the cap.
I just don't think they're going to do it. They're going to say, if you don't restructure, we're going to cut you.
But aren't they a better team next year? Like if your analysis of the trade market is right, and you probably are, right, so that they can't get much for him, aren't they better off just keeping him? Because they don't have a second tight end.
For $3 million.
Right, but if they
I don't care if they're – because they're going to – they're probably going to need that money. During camp, there's always trades during camp. And the Eagles, I think the last 3 years, haven't they made trades during camp?
Yeah, Howie makes trades all the time.
That's... Yeah, right. Okay. So you're going to need that. You're going to need a little flexibility there. And he's got to be able to play. And you're going to want to make Dallas Goedert your featured tight end. And then we got to see what they do in the draft, too. Because I would think somewhere along the way, you're going to get a tight end somewhere, whether it's the draft or you're going to get a tight. Who was their third tight end? It was Richard Rodgers.
Rodgers. Yes, he caught that Hail Mary at the end of the Seattle game, so the Eagles covered and cost people a lot of money.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, yes. They need another tight end, but we'll see what they do during the draft, and we'll see what they do. But they're not going to do anything with him until probably after June 1st, because then it's not as big a hit on the cap.
Right. I'm just like, look, if they were going to get Kyle Pitts, if they had stayed at six and they got Pitts, I would have been fine moving on from Ertz and moving him out and getting whatever
Zach.
He can. But they're not getting Kyle Pitts. So, I'd rather go into the next year and have two good tight ends again. Like, they're a better team with Zach Ertz.
But let's remember, is Zach Ertz still the same tight end?
No, but he's going to be the number two now. I'm not asking him to be the same guy.
Who's the tight end on Indianapolis?
Well, they've got a few. They have...
Okay, so he'd be perfect there.
Oh, I agree. But again, I know you say he controls the situation a little bit, but he doesn't. He's under contract. What's he going to do, stay home?
But they're not going to pay him $8 million. I'm telling you, they're not going to pay him $8 million. And I'd love to see Zach Ertz still on this team. Not that we go in the locker rooms anymore, which is, you get to talk to him on Zoom or you text him, or it's not the same. But it's just you've got to find eventually another tight end, and somebody who knows only going to be here a year might take a roster spot for somebody younger. And that's what you got to look at too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think but he's still a viable player as a second tight end.
You know, didn't you? Were you happy with the way he played last year?
No, I wasn't. I mean, number one, it seemed
again,
like he was disengaged from the start because he was upset at his contract, and then he got hurt, and he looked the same. I mean, he didn't last year.
I hate to say anything negative about him because he's such a. He's a good person, and he's good for the team, and he's good in the locker room, and that's one of the things that the Eagles have missed over the last couple of years is that chemistry in the locker room. One player doesn't make a difference, but one player certainly does help. So with that, I'd love to see him stay for that reason, but I'm just telling you, I don't think the Eagles will have him stay at that money, and I don't think he's going to take a pay cut because he wants to go to Indy. I think he wants to go to Indy.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, Frank and Carson, I mean, it'd be a good spot for him to continue his career. And I'll be rooting for him when he goes somewhere because he's been a great Eagle. But I don't want to give him away. I don't want to give him away, Harry. I don't like giving away good football players.
Well, but he's not the same player he used to be.
But yeah, he's not a very good football player, but he could still be a good player. I don't think he's done.
He's a nice player, but he's not at $8 million. You say if they get nobody else, yeah, then I want him here. But if they get nobody else, I do want him here.
Well, then we'll see what they do in the draft.
I mean, it depends on what else might be out there. But remember, after the draft, there's going to be teams that are going to be cutting younger tight ends, too.
Well, sure, right? The only roster spots in cap room. Things change quickly. All right, well, on the other side, 215-592-9494, we're going to hit on a couple things. One, there was a trade in the NFL the other day that will impact the Eagles because a team in front of them in the draft now has a new quarterback, so we'll hit on that. And Howard, I got to run this by you, so I'm not sure if you saw it yet, but the NBA put out the ESPN put out a list of NBA players ranking young stars by future potential. I got to get your thoughts on where Ben Simmons is on this list. I just can't wait to hear what you have to say about where they ranked him and who he's ranked ahead of. So we'll do that coming up. 215.
So in other words, ESPN kissed the ass of another player.
You'll see. 215-592-9494. That is a hop in. We are riding with the king right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you and Howard Eskin, of course, with us. We're riding with the king, as always. Brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. 215-592-9494. Say you joined the show here. Howard, there was a trade the other day in the NFL that will have some impact on the Eagles. So the Carolina Panthers, they've been trying to get a quarterback here for probably the whole offseason, and they got one in Sam Darnold from the Jets, which I think everyone kind of realized the Jets were going to take a quarterback at two, Zach Wilson, so Darnold wasn't going to be there for very long. But now it takes Carolina out of the mix, I would imagine, out of the mix for a quarterback. So that means they're going to take something else ahead of the Eagles here.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to change because somebody – I think Denver wants to – Atlanta's still in play. So there's still going to be – and I thought Carolina was in play with Atlanta and would still have taken a quarterback. So I still think it's going to kind of fall the same way, and there's going to be, four quarterbacks taken in the top 10?
Could there be five taken before the Eagles? Because I feel like five's the magic number.
Who's the fifth one?
Well, do we think Mac Jones is going to the Niners?
That's right. Mac Jones is in there. So you got Trevor Lawrence.
Zach Wilson.
And Zach Wilson. If the 49ers take the Sixers, the Eagles ought to be happy if the 49ers take Mac Jones, because that takes that takes them out of the mix in a playoff situation for years down the line. If they take Mac Jones, it's a joke.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I agree.
I'm not a Mac Jones guy.
Yeah, I'm not either. But, I mean, they're not going to be a bad team with Mac Jones. Like, Kyle Shanahan has coached Matt Schaub. He's coached Kurt Cousins. Like, he's coached
a bad team, but is he the best quarterback to take in the third pick in the draft?
I don't think so, but everyone keeps saying that's who they're taking. They moved up from Mac Jones. That's what everyone seems to think.
Well, at one time, it was Lance. I had heard it was Lance.
Right.
So who knows? But whatever it is, somebody's trading into four. I think Denver's still looking for a quarterback, and they wanted to trade in to get. They were actually after Darnold, too. So they wanted to trade in. So they're still in play. So I think it's still going to push somebody. You're still going to have another quarterback taken. And it's still going to push. It depends on what the Giants and the Cowboys do, I think, more than anything else. I think that's what it depends on. But they'll still get a good player. The way I look at it, they'll still get a good player. I don't know who people want, what. They can't miss on 12. They just can't miss on 12. I wouldn't think. The 12th player in the draft, they can't miss. So if it's Patrick Surtain, you okay with that? I'm okay with that.
I would be. I like Surtain. I like J.C. Horn, the corner out of South Carolina. I wouldn't be upset at any of these corners. I mean, they really, Howard, could use another corner other than Slay because, I mean, Avante Maddox, let's be real. He's just not that good.
No, he's a special teams guy. Yeah, I agree with that. He was, you know, it looked like he could be good, and all of a sudden that just faded away. So they're still going to get a good player, and I still think there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks taken above him. I would still be surprised if Denver doesn't trade in to get a quarterback.
Well, that'd be great. The more quarterbacks, the better, because that just pushes good players down the board.
Yeah,
Howard,
I'm gonna
throw something at you. I'm gonna see if you could figure this out. So we were looking it up the other day. In the last 30 years, Howard, the Eagles have had a pick in the top half of the first round. So, you know, at one point it was the top 15. Now it's the top 16, you know, because they expanded the league about 20 years ago. But in the last three decades, they've had a top 15 or 16 pick. I'm trying to remember how many times. But every time they've had it, they've only taken three different kinds of positions. Can you guess what the positions have been? Like, when they've had a pick this high.
Well, defensive end's one of them.
Yeah, defensive line is one of the positions.
Yeah, defensive line, yeah, because they took Fletcher Cox and Barnett and
Corey Simon.
Brandon Graham.
And Corey Simon,
that's right, Corey Simon.
So defensive line is one of them.
And defensive line, because they value that position, I would say, well, quarterback.
Quarterback, Donovan and Carson.
Right, okay, quarterback.
And then one more.
And probably wide receiver.
Nope, offensive line.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. So they took Lane Johnson. And what's his name? Jason Peters was a trade, not a draft.
Yes, but think about that. For basically 30 years, Howard, when they've had a pick in the top half of the first round, it's only been three things: offensive line, defensive line, or quarterback. So let me throw this at you.
Those are all positions that win.
Well, I agree with you. So, but we keep talking about corners and wide receivers always get brought up in this town. That's all we talk about. But maybe we're on the wrong track here. Maybe it's going to be offensive line or defensive line. I mean, that's what the Eagles do.
I don't know if there's. I think there's only one offensive lineman that's good enough to be taken in the top 12. And some people think. And that player, I forget who.
Well, there's two. It's Penei Sewell and then the Slater, the kid at Northwestern.
Oh,
Slater.
Right. So do they get to the Eagles? I don't know. It's kind of I don't know. That would be. But it's not a sexy pick, but it's the right pick if it's a good player.
Yeah, and they've done it a lot too.
They took Andre Dillard too.
They always take offensive line or defensive line, and every year we sit here and we're talking about corners, wide receivers.
Well, that's where you win. You win on the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, and so I'd be fine with it. It's amazing how
the right picks.
That's not what's being talked about here. We keep talking about Jalen Waddle and Devonta Smith, and yet I'm going to be surprised if they take a wide receiver. You think they'd go receiver there at 12?
If Waddle's there, they'd have to think about it. I wouldn't take Devonta Smith.
Too small?
But if Waddle's there, I would absolutely think about it.
Yeah, I like Waddle better, too. Why do you like Waddle? Because he's bigger?
Because he's more solid. He's bigger. Yeah, because Devonta Smith, those little guys, how long do they last? They're really good, but how long do they last?
There's not a very long history of 170-pound wide receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, but I don't, at this point, I don't think they'll take a wide receiver because there's so many good ones they can get them in the second and third round. I think that's the way it's going to go.
Well, and if they wanted a wide receiver, they probably should have just stayed at six because they could have had their pick of the litter there. I mean, they could have taken...
Yeah, but then they got more picks can get a wide receiver.
Yeah, and I was good with the trade. I'm just saying if they were hell-bent on a wide receiver, they'd probably stay at six because then they get their guy.
But they want more picks. What they want is they want more picks because you have a better chance of having success in the draft. So I'm not surprised they traded back at all. Not surprised at all. I would have liked to have Pitts, or I would love to have
Chase.
Yeah, I would love to have both those guys, but I totally understand. I understand the situation.
Well, we might have to deal with Pitts moving further. I saw something yesterday. Jerry Jones is smitten with Kyle Pitts, and the Cowboys might want to trade up to get Kyle Pitts. That would be a problem, Howard.
Yeah, it depends on how much they have to get. So they could trade into four.
Yeah, they could move up.
Probably be there at four.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine having a deal with a team that has all those wide receivers and Kyle Pitts? It'd be a problem.
Yeah, but their offensive line is a problem right now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's deteriorated. You're right. That would be.
And their defense is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Jones is building a fantasy football team. It's not real. Yeah, like, he's just wide receivers and tight ends and quarterback.
Yeah, so from that standpoint, hey, listen, when the Cowboys do something, I don't worry about it. Because they always seem to screw it up.
You just assume it's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they took the wide receiver last year. What did that do for them?
Nothing. I mean, and they need a defense, and they didn't do it.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah, but at the same time, they do have some good players there in the offense. All right, 215-592-9494. Howard, I got to throw this at you because I just need to get your reaction. So I was reading this today. So the ESPN put out a list. They titled it NBA's Best 25 Under 25. So the best 25 players, 25 and under, ranking.
I saw that. And yeah, I just ignored it.
Well, I got to throw it at you right now then. Ranking young stars by future potential. Okay, so they have on this list, they have only six young players in the whole league they'd rather have moving forward than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is ranked seventh. Let me give you the six they put over Ben. Let's just start there. So over Ben, they have Luka. He's number one.
Easily.
Zion, number two.
Easily.
LaMelo Ball, the rookie, number three.
Yeah, I'd go there, too.
Donovan.
Well, I'd go there. I go a lot of players, but yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, four.
The rookie of the year.
Jason Tatum, five.
Yes.
De'Aaron Fox from the Kings is number six. Howard, that's where it ends. Ben Simmons is ranked number seven among the 25 under 25. Let me give you some names that they have below Ben Simmons, meaning they'd rather have Ben than this guy. Devin Booker is number eight on this list.
Now, come on. Now, it's just... That's why ESPN is a joke. ESPN, those talking morons, I won't even call them talking heads anymore, those talking morons on ESPN, that is a joke, a disgrace of a network that wants any credibility with the bozos that they have on the air. And I don't know who wrote that, who put that together, but when you have Booker behind Ben Simmons, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. Can you imagine if Booker went in a game and took one shot? In the last 2 weeks, he's had a game with one shot and two shots.
Well, Howard, Booker scored 30-plus 13 different times this year. 13!
I know. Oh, my gosh. That's ESPN. What a joke. What an absolute joke.
They also have on this list after Ben Simmons. So they'd rather have Ben than Brandon Ingram. Then
Brandon Ingram was the better draft, but he's a better player right now.
Jaylen Brown, Jamal Murray, Ja Morant, all behind your boy Ben Simmons.
That's a disgrace. Ja Morant, and they said potential, right?
Yes, this is the potential, yes.
Okay, all right, Ja Morant, athletic, is not afraid to shoot, is not afraid to play basketball the way it's meant to be played. Ben Simmons is not even getting that many assists anymore because when guys don't hit three-point shots, he's not getting assists. He's not. Here's what he's not. The more I watch him, the more disgusted I get with these people that still think that he's a really good player. To call him a great player, you're delusional. To still think he's a really good player. When I watch point guards that pass. They have, and Ben has vision. There's no question he has vision. But the other, he turns the ball over so much because he passes because he doesn't want to shoot. So he's not a smooth and slick passer. Will he make a good pass once in a while? Yeah, passes that everybody makes now. You know, there's a trailer and you throw it behind you. And it's just, he's not even a slick passer. I'm going to tell you who is a better passer, and you're going to think I'm nuts. Jokic is a better passer than Ben Simmons, and he's a center.
Well, it's different, right? You know, Jokic is operating from the high post because he's a center, and he gets the ball.
Which where Ben operates from anyway.
Well, I know, but he's not bringing the ball up like Ben. It's different.
Okay, so he brings the ball up. Big deal. It's just, but he's not, you know, I'll tell you who's in. We talk about enablers. Doc Rivers is a total
enabler.
Oh,
I'm glad you brought this up. I was frustrated the other night, Howard. I mean, Doc is basically calling out people that are frustrated by Ben, like fans and everyone. Oh, yeah. Like, he's basically saying, like, we're the crazy ones. The fact that he doesn't shoot is not a big deal. But
he's a facilitator, he said.
Here's the thing. This is all fun and games in the regular season. When the playoffs come around, we've watched this movie before. We know how it ends. And this team is good. Hopefully they get George Hill back because we found out today, you know, he said he'll be back for the playoffs, which doesn't, you know, it's not very encouraging.
That's great. Wasn't that great trade?
Well, you know what it reminds me of? Remember a couple years ago when the Phillies would do this, when Klentak would go after players that were injured at the deadline? Wilson Ramos, the catcher, and then Dickerson, the outfielder. And it was like, oh, wow, he got that guy for nothing. And then you realize he got him for nothing because he's broken.
Yeah, it's just, and then when he comes back, is he ready to play?
I don't know. Well, he's never played with these guys. Like, there's no chemistry.
But that's not the point. The point is, and you heard it too, right? You heard he said he's I'll say disgusted with people that say you guys worry. And this is what he said: you guys worry too much about his offense. He's a facilitator. I don't worry about his offense. So what Doc Rivers is an enabler, because he's telling Ben, we don't need you to shoot. And now I'm noticing more and more teams are not letting him get to the basket. That's why he's not scoring. They're not, and he doesn't want to go to the foul line because he still can't shoot fouls. So he doesn't want to go to the foul line. He's not getting to the basket. So he's not taking that many shots. So he's not making that many shots. And then when he's kicking the ball out, he's turning the ball over. I saw at least three games where he had at least six turnovers and minimal assists. It's a joke. He's only averaging, over the last 2 weeks, I think he's only averaging about four or five assists a game. And without Embiid, he didn't even get that many rebounds. That's one thing. So he's an enabler for Ben Simmons. Now he's an enabler, and he makes excuses for the team. One of the reasons I don't think the Sixers will win and go deep into the playoffs, I don't think they're a good enough team with Ben Simmons, but that's an aside. He gives them excuses. All right, he didn't challenge Ben Simmons when he said, Denver, the altitude really got us. What's the first time you played in Denver?
Yeah, that was remarkable.
They were there for 2 days.
It was remarkable.
Stop it. It's just, and then this was the classic. When they got smoked by Memphis at home on Sunday night, smoked, he says, I could tell we were tired. So he's making an excuse for the team. And here was the classic line, and you could tell. Yeah, last night, like the Doc Rivers plays back. They played back-to-back games his whole career. Everybody plays back-to-back games. Denver played back-to-back last night, and they still won. They're only two losses behind the Sixers, playing in the West. That's how good they are. And that's why Jokic is the MVP. He's played every game. All right, but so here's the classic line by Doc Rivers. Yeah, last night we played an 8 o'clock game, and tonight we played at 7 o'clock. You know, it's not enough time between games. He's telling me 1 hour difference on a back-to-back when you play night-to-night. Are you kidding me, right? We played 7 o'clock tonight, but we played 8 o'clock last night, so it wasn't enough time between the games.
It's been a lot of excuses.
Like
a lot of excuses lately. And the bottom line is, since the All-Star break, he's just not been good. I mean, he has, and he went to the All-Star break playing his best. He had that great game against Utah where he scored a million points. Like, he looked,
played too many minutes in the All-Star game.
Well, yeah, from his hotel room watching in quarantine. Well,
he came back. So here's what I think happened. Here's what I think happened for the, what was the game they played after the two LA games? They played,
Denver lost. After the Tua? There's another West game, right?
Oh, yeah, about- the Denver because of the attitude. Yeah, with the attitude, according to Ben. They were in L.A. for 4 or 5 days. 4 or 5 days. Now, and they didn't play back-to-back. Are you going to tell me that a lot of those players didn't go out in L.A.? Now, really, are you going to tell me they didn't go out?
Well, I don't know
what
they
did. Are you going to tell me that Ben Simmons didn't go out?
I don't know what he did, but he's playing like crap the last
two weeks. Well, yeah, but L.A. is, like, that's where he goes on vacation in the summer. He doesn't practice here.
That's where they all go. That's their favorite place to play.
Just, so the whole thing, but Doc Rivers is making excuses for him. So now, if they lose, there's going to be an excuse.
Do you think this? You think behind the scenes it's different? You think Doc's just telling this to us, and behind the scenes he's trying to push Ben to do the right thing? Because well, then that's frustrating because all we talked about for years was how Brett Brown can't get through to him and can't make him change. And now Doc is. The bottom line is, if Doc's not doing it, nobody's going to do it. Howard, this is going to be him his whole career.
Here's the problem. He knows whatever he says won't make a difference, so he's taking the easy way out rather than saying, "Hey, listen. I'm going to call some, it's what Brett Brown said. I'm going to call some plays for you." Brett Brown never answered my question when I asked him about that. And he doesn't shoot. Forget about a three. How about a 15-footer? How about a 15-footer? And he doesn't shoot, then you're coming out of the game. And that's it. But the problem is, when he pulls guys when they don't play well, when he pulls them out of the game and he plays the young guys late, you would think guys would wake up and not let it happen again. They let it happen again. And how about Dwight Howard's comment? Well, we didn't really lose. It was the Memphis game. We didn't really lose. The game just wasn't long enough.
You know what? That's a pretty good one, actually. More, the Phillies should start this. We didn't lose.
They were down 26. Going, how are you down 26 at home going
into
the last
quarter?
They
were checked out that night. That was bad. That was bad,
well,
Howard.
You know, they played 8 o'clock one night and 7 o'clock the next night.
Listen, you got to give them a break. Don't be so hard on them. All right, what to watch for here? Sponsored by Xfinity, the fast internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. All right, Howard, we got to talk about this because it's something I know you remember and you watched it. Today is a special anniversary here in sports history. I saw you posted it today, April 8th, 1974. Here is the call. Henry Aaron passes Babe Ruth.
He's sitting on 714. Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate, and listen to this crowd. This sellout crowd is cheering. Henry Aaron, the home run king of all time, 7-15.
You know what? That was a great call by Milo Hamilton. And because they played the Dodgers, Vince Scully was on the other side making a call. So can you imagine that? Two of the greatest, and Milo Hamilton's a great announcer. We just didn't hear much about him because he was in Atlanta. Great call and a great moment. The real home run king is Hank Aaron. It's disgusting that Barry Bonds is even in the record books for leading with all-time home runs. It was a absolutely tremendous call. You root for him. What he went through, you hear him. There's so many different interviews of him talking and what he had to deal with. It was it's amazing the pressure that was on him, and to do that, it was. And he's such a nice person. I've met Hank Aaron quite a few times. And didn't know him that well, obviously, but what a nice person and a great moment in sports. Yeah, it's 1974.
Yeah,
right?
And when you look back at his career, the amazing part for me with Aaron was the consistency, right? He was never a guy that hit 50 home runs. He never hit 60. It wasn't like he was having those crazy years that's, guys, some home run hitters have.
How about this, though? Think about this. He had all those home runs. He's third all-time in hits in baseball.
Yep.
Third. As a home run hitter. Can you imagine that today?
I think you can take away his home runs and he still has 3,000 hits. I think that's true. I think he has. I gotta look.
Yeah, he does have 755. I think he's got close to 3,800 hits.
Yeah, so you could take away all his home runs and he's still a 3,000 hit guy. That's amazing.
It's just amazing. And then here's another thing. In his 23-year career, he never struck out 100 times.
You put him in today's game, he'd be a unicorn. Everyone strikes out 100 times.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And just goes to show you, you can make contact and you can still hit home runs. That's what, you know, Schmidt in his career tried to adjust to different things. Now, he's not Hank Aaron. Don't let me put him in that class. But Willie Mays made contact. I haven't checked Willie Mays' numbers, but I bet you he didn't strike out a lot because of his speed. He wanted to put his bat on the ball. And Hank Aaron got those hits. He was fast, but he wasn't like Willie Mays fast. He wasn't those kind of runners. But it's just, I mean, that's why baseball used to be great. It used to be great when players would do the right things and make contact and still hit home runs.
Yeah, Willie Mays only struck out 100 times once, and he was 40 years old then.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that today? 100 strikeouts, and they're in August when they strike out 100 times.
Actually, if you only strike out about 100 times, you're above average now. You're good. I mean, most everyday players, it's more like 120, 130, 140, 150.
Don't even get me started.
That's the way it is, Howard.
Computers.
Launch angle, come on.
You analytics morons.
I'm not the one striking out. I'm just watching the games.
Yeah, I know, but you love that analytics nonsense.
Well, listen, I mean, I love it from the perspective of teams got to know what they're doing to find the right players. But as far as the game is concerned...
Wait a minute. Whoa.
Got to find the right players.
Matt Klentak never went to the minor league site. Matt Klentak,
he didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't a smart analytics guy.
He didn't even go to the minor league facility to look at his players. It's just, they don't even look... I got news for you. They don't even look at players anymore. They look at computers.
No, well, the good ones do. Come on, the good ones do.
Maybe.
Well, that's why you think the Dodgers don't look at players? They just use computers?
Well, yeah, well, okay. Well, there are teams that do that.
Yeah, I mean, they know what they're doing out there. Like, come on.
You know, you look at a player. This guy can play, this guy can't. That's it. It's that simple. I don't need a computer to tell me whether a guy can play. I don't need a computer.
You should be the GM then.
I should be the GM.
Well, they got Dombrowski now. I think they're in good hands.
Yeah, Dombrowski's okay.
All right, Howard. Fun hour here. This has been Riding with the King. As always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of Xfinity X1 Lounge. Back on Saturday morning, Howard?
Yeah, and you know, the guy only played here 1 year. Takeo Spikes.
I'm a linebacker.
Yeah, linebacker. Played here 1 year. But I wondered why he only played 1 year. He had a great story why he didn't play here because of what they did to a player. And also, in talking about Andy Reid, and he has a podcast, and he interviewed Terrell Owens, so we talked about T.O. So
Saturday morning he'll be on with you?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
Yeah, he was a really good player in Cincinnati before he...
Yes, he was. Yeah, he played 15 years in the NFL. I didn't realize he played that long.
Buffalo? Buffalo at some point, too, I think?
Buffalo, San Francisco.
Right.
San Diego.
And Cincinnati.
And the Eagles.
Yeah, he was a good player. All right, I'll be listening Saturday, Howard. You have a good night, and we'll talk next week.
You too. Stay safe.
All right, there he goes, Howard Eskin. 215-592-9494. That is the Apple Board on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.